Bung Bung. ClayMcMathComedy.com for all my dates, all the podcast merch, all the podcast links. Anything that's Clay McMath Comedy related or Welcome to the Potty related is at ClayMcMathComedy.com. Support the show by buying merch. Support the show by sharing the show. Tell a friend to tell a friend. That is how we grow this thing. Please do that for us. You know how it helps. Welcome to the Potty is also, of course, brought to you by Bung Bung Coffee. It is a modern dark roast that does it all. And I mean does it all. It cleans your house. It cleans your car. It polishes your toenails. I don't even know who does that. I don't know who needs that, but someone out there needs that. Your toenails look horrific. Fix them. Drink Bung Bung Coffee. It's got whatever your toenails need, it's got it. And whatever, you know, dude, you're driving around with mandarin skins on the floor of your car. You drink some Bung Bung Coffee, that's all going to clear right up, all right? Bungbungcoffee.com, that's BUNGBUNGcoffee.com for the best modern dark roast around. It is a blend of four South American countries. We're talking Colombia, Brazil, Honduras, and Peru. You does not get better than this. Hand-picked beans, handcrafted, perfect brown color, not too oily, beautiful chocolatey blend with a little bit of fruitiness in there, but not too much, like your corner cafe doing all that extra stuff with the milk and the, you know, all that crap. We don't do that at Bung Bung Coffee. It is perfect. A lot of R&D went into making this blend, okay? That's all I've got to say. Bungbungcoffee.com. Enter promo code POTTY, P-O-D-D-Y, to get 15% off all orders just because you are a Welcome to the Potty listener. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the Potty. Best show on the internet. Ask anybody. You know it's easy money. Sit back, relax, get your headphones, everybody. Welcome to the Potty. Blackout in the booth. Every episode's a potty. We go hard like Ricky Bobby. Tell a friend to tell a friend. This is Welcome to the Potty.
Welcome to the Potty. Bung Bung. It's your man Claytron, aka the Big Boss Man, aka the Clumsy Jeweler, because I'm always dropping gems, aka the Milkman, because I always deliver, aka the PhD of podcasting, the Magnum PI of podcasting, the Captain, the Lizzo of podcasting. Because I've been eating the game. Lizzo's in some hot water right now, like some glizzies.
Yeah, right. What's the latest?
Lizzo, some backup dancers have come out with some sexual harassment allegations, saying that when they went to Amsterdam, Lizzo took them out to a banana sex show, and that's, you know. Think of bananas. Now think of sex. Now think of Lizzo. So she took him out to that, and apparently she forced one of the backup dancers to eat a banana out of the front end of a lady. And after repeated attempts of declining this, basically got forced into it. Another one, she forced him to like touch the breasts of one of these sex workers. And then other people are coming out saying like she's got a documentary, and the original director, a black woman, and black women supposed to stick together, right? She said she left after 2 weeks. She was like the empowering and kind and friendly act. It's all an act. It's not real. She created a toxic work environment. She was a narcissist. All this stuff. Big fat Lizzo. Big fat friendly empowering Lizzo out there getting mad at everyone. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever seen clips of her her shows, but her backup dancers are heavy as well.
Okay.
So I can't tell if they're mad about like the sexual nature of the acts or the fact that they had to eat something healthy. But if I worked for someone and they were trying to make me, you know, eat a banana or someone's monkey, I'd be like, wow, like this is a supportive work environment. I'd be pretty impressed with my boss if that's what was happening at my workplace. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You see Wolf of Wall Street?
I mean,
that's, you know, that's stuff that's really, that's more geared towards white people, I think. There's not many black people that want that, but like it looked like fun to me. And I don't know, maybe these people are overreacting, but I feel guilt-free about all the stuff I've talked about Big Fat Lizzo on the Welcome to the Potty podcast.
Got him! Got him!
Yeah, it was all warranted.
Yeah, that's what you get, you fat bitch. Dude, what do you think you're doing? Like, I can pick it, dude. I tell Rach all the time, I know from a distance who's a psycho, who's a piece of you know, I can see it. I can see it, and I knew she was, and I know someone else is, and I don't want to bring her into this. But Nicole Kidman, you seem like a real next Tuesday situation.
Yeah, right. So it's only a matter of time now.
Until she gets it?
You've called it.
Yeah.
Until she gets that Ellen DeGeneres treatment.
Yeah. But yes, Lizzo. They got her, dude. They got her. And this prompted another thought for me. And probably not Lizzo per se, but just in general, bigger girls, eyebrows immaculate. I don't know if you've ever noticed this.
No, I haven't. I haven't put those two together before, but I'll
pay big more girls attention. Big girls be brown. And I don't know what that means, but there's something about big girls having nice eyebrows.
Shit, I guess I'll keep an eye out.
Keep an eye out for it. Now, the question here is, and this is like a little from column A, little from column B situation. It's a, is it both of these things, or is it, could it be this, could it be that, can it only be this, can it only be that? Now, if you're paying that much attention to your eyebrows, is your Brazilian area taken care of?
I'd assume so.
But if you're that heavy that you can't see your situation.
Yeah, unless you got a pretty like intricate mirror set up, might be a bit of an issue.
Yeah, or you have to go to like the wax specialist, yeah, or whatever they're called, beautician. And are you too self-conscious to be getting your whole situation out when you don't even know what it looks like?
Okay, so maybe there's no correlation there. Maybe it is just a bit of column A, a bit of column B.
Yeah, but if you're going somewhere to get your brows pieced up, maybe on the same trip, you go and get your situation sorted. I don't know, but maybe big girls are the move. That's all I'm saying. I don't know.
This might be a survey for Instagram.
Yeah. Maybe. For the four big girls or for guys that are into big girls?
Anyone who wants to answer it.
Yeah. Okay. What else do I want to talk about? Oh, dude. You said this week sometime, you went crazy on the food.
Yeah, dude. I think 3 nights ago.
Yeah. Was that movie night or?
The night before movie night.
Night before movie night. So just any particular reason that you decided to go crazy?
No, not really, man. It's just been a while. I was in Melbourne on the weekend and didn't get my like nightly sugar fix in for a few nights. Okay. There, so I think I was making up for it when I got home.
Yeah, right. I don't know if it's a bad habit, but if Rach is out at night, I enjoy treating myself. And she, this weekend, her family from Japan are here for a visit for a month. Her mum has moved back here after being gone for 15 years. So everyone's back. So she's out. She's doing this. She's doing that. So I was 3 out of 4 nights, I was home alone for dinner. And that is not a good look.
What are we talking, like double serves or?
I'm talking, I think it was Friday night. I ordered Uber Eats, two cheeseburger meals. So I got two cheeseburgers, two small fries, and two cans of soft drink. Bodied it before halftime of the footy, I reckon. The next night, I cooked. I can't even remember what I cooked. It was like moderately healthy. It was fine. But then, what do I order?
What, dessert?
Yeah, Storm. But they don't even, on Uber Eats, or at least on my Uber Eats, they don't offer Biscoff Storm on Uber Eats. It's shattering.
Travesty.
Yeah. So I had to have a Flake Storm, which is not even close, by the way.
Yeah, that's mid.
But now that we're talking Storms, since you gave Hungry Jack's, bleep that, a free shout out on the Welcome to the Potty podcast, I have indulged in, I think, two Biscoff Storms.
That's crazy, because I haven't been back since I gave him the shout out.
Wow, dude. I went, I was like, I've got to try it. And then I was like, this is delicious. And I tried another one the same week coming home from a gig. And that gig was like a 3-minute drive. I did not need to stop in anywhere on my way home from that one.
I might need to stop past tonight. It's been a while now.
Oh, that Biscoff Storm. Oh, and one of them. Check this out. Not happy with this. The first one was perfect. It was the perfect Biscoff Storm. Second one, ran out of the biscuits, so they only had the spread. Now, the spread's delicious, but I was like, well, you got to give me extra spread. And they did.
Have to, yeah.
But
it's not the same. You need the bickies. Were you saying that you'd never heard of Biscoff before that? Or was that someone else I was talking to?
I may have heard the word, but I asked you what Biscoff was. Yeah,
okay.
Have
you noticed it in supermarkets since or not?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Is it like, is it an actual biscuit, like a fully formed?
Yeah, fully fledged biscuit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's out there.
It's in its final form.
Yeah.
Would you call the packeted Biscoff its final form, or would you call it its final form in the Storm?
I think the Storm now.
Yeah, dude.
Pre-Storm, I would have said the biscuit, but...
No, I don't want a Biscoff without the Storm.
No, it's changed the game, man.
Yeah. I don't know how they make that spread, dude, but I want to spray it in my mouth. No home loans.
Dude, it's that good. Like, you'd eat it with Jats or just anything. Anything. Put on bread.
Wait, you can get the spread?
Yeah, it's like next to peanut butter or Vegemite or something like that.
Is unfortunate that you've told me this.
That's why I thought you might have seen it.
No, I just thought that was like Hungry Jack's special. I thought there was only Biscoff biscuits.
Nah, it's out there in a jar, dude.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Rachel's going away this week. Rachel's going to Middleton for 3 nights or something. So I'm about to body a jar in 3 nights and she'll never find out.
Gotta swing past Costco, get like a 1 kilo jar or something.
I'm not a member.
Ooh. Neither actually.
Thank Christ, dude. It would be a problem. I've got no willpower, dude. I've got to do a strategy to not buy crazy shit at the supermarket. How many minutes are we in?
13.
Oh, okay, I'm allowed to swear. I think it's 5 minutes from the research I've been doing.
All right, we're on here.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got to do a fully fledged routine. Not routine, but strategy before I go to the supermarket to make sure that I don't buy crazy shit. I've been known, not like regularly, but I've been known to just buy a spray thing of whipped cream and just fucking spray it directly in my own mouth like a fucking pig, dude.
You're on that Lizzo shit, man.
Yeah, dude.
That's crazy. I've never done that.
I've done, you know what I feel like? Nutella. I'll buy a Nutella and that's it. I'll come home and get a spoon and start eating Nutella. I've done that.
Do you like custard?
I like custard, yeah.
Do you ever just drink it?
No, that's not me. I would, if I was going to buy custard, I would buy like an apricot Danish and I'd heat up the custard and I'd pour it over the top of my apricot Danish and I'd body that. I'd body a whole Danish if I had to. If I didn't live with Rachel, I would body a whole Danish.
Wait, Danish? They're not that big, are they?
They're like...
Oh, the big ones you can get from like supermarket.
Yeah, I'm talking about real life Danish.
Oh, dude, that's easy money. Get that done in an...
Like if you buy like a Sara Lee cheesecake, you think I'm not going to finish that? It's not even thick. It's this. That is a personal pie to me.
Won't taste the same tomorrow. Got to get rid of it that
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You refreeze it, it gets like those ice crystals.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Get real.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude. So that was the second night, and then the third night, I made chili cheese dogs. Monday night. That's how I started my fucking week, dude.
So you've been working out this week?
I haven't worked out. No. No, I have been starving myself. I've been having like cup of soup for lunch at work. Just brutal. Just brutal thinking that a cup of soup is, it's like 43 calories.
Yeah, that's a long day.
Yeah. We've got lots of fruit at work too. And fruit's like high calories, but it's healthy. Ask Lizzo. But that's pretty much just what my week has been, is just gluttony.
Love it.
Yeah. It's a sin apparently. I don't know how gluttony is on the same level as like murder or whatever.
No, it's like a D tier sort of sin.
Oh, okay.
I would have thought anyway. We're not fact checking here.
No, I don't know the rules. Have you ever met a Scientologist?
I don't think so.
You don't know? I think you got to be rich to be a Scientologist.
Yeah, that expects some donations.
Yeah, so I don't think...
The Church of Scientology.
I don't know.
Is that what it's called? Is it the Church?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think that we have access to people that could even be Scientologists.
I definitely don't. No.
Most of my friends... You know how people are like, what's your drink? You know? And then people will be like, I drink a Manhattan. It's my drink. Most of my friends, when they go to a bar, they're like, what's on the specials list? That's my friends.
Yeah, I'm one of them.
Me too. I'm not hating. That's me. But I'm just saying, like, I don't think I'm in the world of Scientologists.
Nah. What got you onto that anyway?
I was just wondering. I wonder what their rules are. Thou shalt slap them who disrespect thy wife.
Oh, couldn't tell you, man.
I think Will Smith's a Scientologist, is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is he actually?
I believe so.
Right.
Yeah. John Travolta, he's like the king of it, I think. The Pope. He'd be like the Pope, because I think L. Ron Hubbard is their god.
Yeah. Tom Cruise is up there.
Yeah, he's like an archbishop, I think.
Look, I'm not going to lie. Everything that I know about Scientology is from South Park.
I don't think I've seen that episode.
Really? The one, the R. Kelly one?
I don't...
The one where he's trapped in the closet? Nah.
Oh, I've seen that. I've seen that clip.
Okay.
I've seen that clip on YouTube, yeah.
That's from the Scientology episode.
Yeah, right.
Banger episode.
You know, I understand R. Kelly's in jail, yeah?
Yeah.
Apparently he's doing like concerts in jail, by the way.
He released an album, didn't he? Or was that fake? That might have been fake.
Through the phone or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was all recorded on a phone.
Yeah, I think that was legit. I haven't heard it though.
Nuts. I haven't heard the whole thing, but yeah, I can't tell whether it was real or not. It sounded legit. Like, it sounded like him, but you can do anything, buddy.
Yeah, and the shit he was saying was like, sounded like R. Kelly. Like, having seen that interview with was it Barbara Walters? No. Remember when he said, like, they're trying to, you know, he started crying and shit and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Having seen that interview... It made me, because like a lot of his songs make me laugh. Like I thought he was like the Ludacris of R&B. Like lots of punchlines, very funny. I don't think he's actually joking in any of his songs. I think everything he says, he says earnestly. I used to think Trapped in the Closet was genius. I don't think he was trying to be funny. I think that is...
He thought he was making art.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. But yeah, back in real time, I was like, yeah, he's taking the piss.
Yeah.
He's just good at this.
And yeah.
He's in on the joke, but yeah. No, he's not.
Yeah, as soon as I saw that interview, I was like, oh, wow, he's truly insane. And he's not trying to be a comedian.
Have you seen any of Surviving R. Kelly?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, that's pretty confronting stuff, man.
Yeah, pretty hectic.
Dude is a monster.
Yeah, I've heard everything.
Yeah.
that surfaced from it, but I haven't seen it.
I didn't watch all. I think I got like two episodes in. I've seen enough. This guy's so guilty. And throw away the key.
So hectic, man. Yeah, but apparently he's like doing concerts like every week, like in the jail, to the jailbirds.
Got to pass the time somehow.
Yeah, man, it's wild. Why'd we start talking about R. Kelly?
Scientology and South Park.
South Park. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, that's crazy. It's all crazy. Scientology's crazy. R. Kelly's crazy. And he's a rapist.
Comedy, action, or horror? Will this movie win an Oscar? Set design, directing, acting like Tinger costumes. This segment is Plays Reviews.
I did watch one without you, which I'll just get through this quickly as a little warm up. It's new on Netflix. It's not a new movie, but it's just recently come out on Netflix. It's called The Comedian, and it stars Robert De Niro. He's a comedian, like a kind of a shock comic or like insult comic. I don't know, but the. It's just like, I don't really understand the purpose of the film was the first thing. It followed him through this specific period of his career. He used to be a sitcom star on this like family sitcom, and everyone still knew him for that, even though he's like this dirty comic now. And I guess he hated that being referred to as that character. Like, I think his name was Jackie in the movie, but like Robert De Niro was Jackie something. His character in this TV show that he was in was Eddie, and everyone would call him Eddie all the time, and I think he hated that. It just sort of followed him through, like he was like disgraced. So at the start of the film, this isn't really a spoiler, this is like where the film gets set up, this guy's at one of his gigs, and it's like a hell gig. The night is like retired sitcom star night or some ex sitcom star night or something like that. Like just a nightmare gig. Like you just, why would you even go? And this guy is filming him on a GoPro for his own content. And he's like heckling him, trying to like
get a reaction. Yeah. Or something.
Yep. And then he gets one. And then, Jackie or De Niro, smacks him in the face with the microphone and ends up going to jail for 30 days because of it. And then he has to do community service when he gets out, and he meets this girl played by Leslie Mann, who is Judd Apatow's wife. She's in like 40-year-old virgin. I'm hungry. Let's get some fucking French toast. Remember that chick? She's drunk and she tells him to blow into the thing and then her car starts.
Oh, yeah.
She's in like This Is 40. A lot of those comedy movies, she's often the wife, but sometimes she's just like a crazy chick. And she played like, she did play like, she had mental, not mental, but like emotional breakdowns a couple times in this movie. She's so good at that. She's really good at crying, and I love her. I think she's fantastic.
I'm looking at her wiki now and I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah.
She's been in a lot of films.
Yeah. And she was so good in this. She was like surrounded by toxic men. Like obviously Jackie, her dad was an absolute piece. And the way she dealt with them was like so like strong, even though like she would like catch herself about to break down, and she's like, no, we're not doing this here. Like, and she'd tell them off, and like, it is a comedy. It's like a dramedy.
Okay.
So it was funny, but like, yeah, I loved her character. She was like, she was really strong, and the comedy, a lot of it, he was doing, like he did the gig at the start. He did a speech at a wedding. He did a roast, and he did like a gig at an old folks home. So it kind of showed the different, it didn't really show him as like a successful, like I'm doing theaters comic. It showed him doing all these weird gigs, which is the world of comedy that I'm a part of, really. So that was kind of like cool to see that, especially like a comic who was supposedly great.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd like been disgraced because of this jail stint or whatever, which I just don't think would happen today. But this movie's 2016, I think.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So what was I saying? Oh yeah, the gigs. Obviously, De Niro is not a comedian. He's not even like a comic actor. I suppose he is in like Meet the Fockers and stuff, but he's a straight man. He's not actually like, he's not the guy. Ben Stiller is. Even though Ben Stiller's playing it pretty straight as well. But so he's doing comedy routines and he's pacing to me. And I'm not, you know, I'm not talking shit about a comedian. I'm just the guy in the movie. Well, Robert De Niro, his pacing when he was doing the jokes, it was just like he was nervous. Like he couldn't stop talking. Like when you have to stand up in front of the class and do a 5-minute presentation, and you do it at home and it's 6 minutes and you do it in front of the class and it's 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, it's bringing back some PTSD.
Yeah. That's what it felt like he was doing. Like he was just like, he had his lines memorized and he's just like vomiting them up.
Were you good at that? Were you good at like presenting in front of the class?
No. But like...
So it's just something you've just been working on, I guess, throughout your life and just gaining confidence.
Well, we never got to present on something we cared about or we thought was funny.
Yeah, true.
You know?
Yeah. It's like, you're never that really like passionate about things you're talking about. You just did it.
Come up in front of 30 bullies, basically, and talk about Greek mythology. No, I'm not going to be good at that.
Yeah, I hate that shit.
Get up in front of 30 paying customers about what you think is funny. It's a little less daunting, I think.
Yeah.
I guess you got to make people laugh, which is pretty scary. But yeah, the pacing threw me. I didn't like it. And the movie was like insisting that he was a brilliant comic as well. Like it, it was really trying to like put him up on a pedestal, like he was Eddie Murphy or something, you know?
Okay.
The jokes weren't that funny and they weren't delivered well, I didn't think. But he's not a comedian. I'm not trying to judge his comedy chops, just like...
But he was mainly famous in the film because he was like he was an actor earlier in his life.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, who else would this be?
The first thing that came to mind when you said that was probably Michael Richards. Like, iconic character on a TV show. And I never really hear anyone talk about his stand-up comedy.
No, I don't know if he's been up since he dropped the N-bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, even before that, I'd never heard of Michael Richards' stand-up.
No, neither. I couldn't tell you Michael Richards bit. Yeah. Yeah, it's probably something like that, except it really did feel like they were pushing like his brilliance.
Okay.
Yeah. He actually, my favorite part of the movie, he's roasting this old lady. I think she's 94, 95 years old at this club or whatever, roasts her and she's laughing so hard and she actually dies. So he kills, right? And this guy says that to him. He's like, you're killed. And typical comedian, he says back to the guy, I didn't even get to my best stuff. Like this woman's dead in front of him. And he's worried that he's like pissed that he didn't get to do his best jokes, which I like completely lost it at that because I was just like, that is like how selfish comedians are. Like I would be like that. But it was fine. I gave it a 5.
Sounds pretty bad.
It's watchable.
Okay.
It's watchable, but it's not like in my favorite films, you know?
Not racist.
When I got very excited about it because like a lot of my favorite comedians, one of my favorite comedians has talked about it a lot of times on his podcast. Like it's just come up and he's like mentioned it or quoted it. Oh, I can't believe I haven't seen this. You know, I'm supposed to be a comedian, got to see the comedian. And then it popped up on Netflix, watched it and I was like, eh. Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't remember. I don't remember what snacks I ate for that. But it was only on Monday night, so it was only three nights ago. And I just feel like I don't watch movies without snacks, so I definitely had some.
See, I've only really started doing it since it became a thing on the pod.
So you just sit down and watch a movie with a fucking naked mouth.
Well, like, I won't go grab something at the start of the movie. I might get peckish during it and then I'll go grab something. But yeah, I never made like a conscious effort to go make sure I was sitting there ready with snacks to go.
Yeah, right. So I've never like gone, what should I get for this movie like I do now with the pod?
Yeah.
But if I know for sure that I'm watching a movie that night, I'll get snacks. But if I don't know that I'm watching a movie, I'll do like what you do. Like, oh, a movie? I better.
Go raid the cupboard.
Yeah, check what we got. Have some porridge or something. But our movie that we chose, or was recommended to us actually, this one, Baby Teeth. And this is Australian and it's on Netflix. Do you know what you ate for Baby Teeth?
Had a Monster, I think they're called Monster Maxi Bon, like the cookies and cream one.
Oh, yep.
Purple wrapper.
Yeah, nice. Is it bigger than normal?
Nah, same size.
That's a rip-off then.
Might not be called a Monster. I don't know, but the purple one, cookies and cream.
Yeah, nice.
Delicious.
Anything else?
I had a couple of Tim Tams left over from the night before when I was pigging out hard, so.
Nice.
Yeah, that was it, but that was good enough for me.
Nice. And did you watch it with your roommates?
No, Hannah and I watched it.
Yeah.
Harry didn't watch it with us, but she walked in and asked us what we were watching, and before we could say anything, she said, oh, is this that baby teeth? No, sorry.
Baby breath.
Baby breath. Yeah, that's right. And yeah, just had to hit pause for a few minutes and laugh that one out.
Yeah.
That was hilarious at the time.
Did this movie make Hannah cry?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Balling her eyes out.
Did it make you cry?
No.
What's it going to take?
I was so sad like the whole time I was watching it, but just couldn't well up.
If you're at a funeral and everyone's crying, do you just go, I'm so sad?
I don't know, man. It's just something about crying at a screen. I just can't do it.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. That's how I used to be.
I'm sure if it was people I knew on the screen and something sad was happening, I'd well up a bit, but I can't get there.
Okay. We'll find one. Me and Rach were just sobbing messes.
Dude, I wanted to.
The final scene, and no, let's not start at the end. We're not Tarantino.
Yeah.
But my snacks, I decided to go with the classic popcorn because they look like teeth. That was
nice.
My,
okay.
And then I actually had gone to Harbortown that week to buy new underwear. So there's a lint store at Harbortown. So I got some salted caramel lint. Which doesn't relate to the film at all.
Good combo, though.
Mm, yeah, so that was delicious. Now, this one, I've got some notes here for this one. I noticed a lot of close-ups in this. Mm-hmm. Now, close-ups can be like a signature shot a lot of times for some directors, and there's usually purpose to it, like a subtle reaction close up, right? But I felt like there was a lot of close ups used for no reason in this, and with a steady cam too. So like, there's a lot of movement. It's like Transformers, but nothing's exploding. So it was like, it just really bothered me, especially for like the first half of the movie. And then I think I sort of got used to it for some reason, and I could be wrong here. I am wrong. I know I'm wrong. But Aussie movies to me sound like Aussie hip hop. Like it just the sound of it is bad to me.
Do you think it's because a lot, like most Aussie movies that we see would be like actors from eastern states and like based in the eastern states?
Maybe. And I do think, I feel like for some reason they put extra sauce on it, unless that's just how they talk out in those states.
Could be a bit of both.
But like, they're like, Mum, Mum, come on, get over here. I'm like, oh, what's happening? I just can't stomach it, man. And I don't think I took this note down. No, I didn't. But there's something about the Australian accent that no matter how good you are at acting, it makes you worse at acting.
Okay.
To me.
Yeah, all
it's
right.
an opinion. But like there was some great performances in this.
Was there a particular character that made you feel that way? Or just in general?
The daughter, she was just the main character. She was in every scene. I thought she was great. I thought she was a really good actor, but there was just something about the Australian accent. Just same with Nicole Kidman. Like when she's doing an American accent, I feel like she's more believable than when she's doing Australian accent.
Okay. I can't even think of the last movie I saw with Nicole Kidman in it.
I can tell you that she was acting like a bit of a cunt in it, probably. I'm sure she is. I can tell, dude.
I don't know. Maybe I just didn't notice it as much because the entire cast was Australian.
Yeah.
I feel like when you're watching other things and then there's just like a random Australian character and it really just stands out like dog's balls.
What did you think of Tex Walker in it?
That was the first note I took when I was watching it.
Okay.
Like, who is this? Who is this shirtless cunt with the mullet and footy shorts?
No, that's not who I was talking about.
Wait, Tex Walker?
The dad. I thought the dad looked so much like Tex.
You reckon?
Yeah. He looked like Tex in maybe 10 years. Maybe 15.
I don't know, man. I'm looking at him now. I don't see it.
No? Okay.
No. I mean, he's got some ears on him, but... Yeah, I don't know. Apart from the years.
maybe I'm off on that one. Did the music subplot do anything for you?
Not that I noticed at the time, to be honest. What did it do for you?
I felt like it was a force. I felt like they tried to make music a character and, you know, win some type of artistic praise from some dipshit with tortoiseshell glasses, you know. But I didn't think it added really to the film, and I thought it was annoying. There was a scene when the main character got drunk at a party and they just had her dancing for like what felt like 15 minutes. So long. Dancing.
Yeah. Now that you mentioned that, the movie would have been just fine without that scene. That did nothing.
And there was, you know, she obviously enjoyed music and it was like one of the only things that made her happy. There was a scene earlier when she was at a music lesson. She obviously didn't care about playing music, and then the music teacher put on a record and she started dancing and she was very happy.
See, I thought that scene there was pretty powerful.
I liked that scene.
I like that, yeah.
The one at the club didn't really do it for me, especially because she was having like a bit of a breakdown, I suppose, at that time. I didn't like it. They had the thing about the mum quitting playing music because it was the only thing she could control, and she thought that if she gave up music, maybe it would. Is this a spoiler? I saw this coming, but.
Wasn't it something to do with not being there for her daughter when she was younger?
Hit spoiler alert. All right. So, the big deal with the mum not wanting to play piano anymore was that she thought if she gave that up, maybe her daughter would survive.
Oh, did she give it up that recently?
Well, I don't. Well, we don't know how long she had cancer.
Yeah,
but the music teacher obviously used to teach the mum at one point, and he said something like giving it up's not going to make her better. At one point, he said something like that along those lines, and then later in the film, the mum was playing at home and she stopped, and she just said, I think the dad said something, and she said, "It feels like the only thing I can do, or something, is like give up music to."
Was this the scene with the pregnant chick? Or were there two times that the mum played?
There was another time, I think, and the dad, I think it was when the dad had a bit of a dummy spit at her.
Okay.
I can't remember. It's a couple of weeks ago now.
Yeah.
I just didn't think that if they were going to make music a character or an important subplot or sub theme, they needed to do better with it, I thought.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Oh, we kind of touched on it actually before we turned the mics on. Obviously the mullet and footy shorts guy, he's the other supporting actor. Maybe I'll just run through the plot real quick here. So girl meets boy at the train station. Boy, he's got sores and shit on his face. You can tell he's a bit of a drug guy. And the girl's in her school uniform. And the guy asks for money and she's only got a 50 on her. So she gives him a 50 and says, wait, you've got to do something for me. They go back to some house and he cuts her hair really shittily. And then you're either forced into thinking, oh, she's trying to be a rebel, or you immediately understand that she's got cancer. Then the story is basically this girl falls in love with this guy, 23-year-old, she's 16. And it's the only thing she really cares about on the last leg of her journey, essentially. I liked him. He reminded me of someone. I couldn't really figure out who. Now that I actually say that, I can figure out who, and I don't want to say it on the Welcome to the Potty podcast. Bleep this.
Yeah, okay, I didn't put that together when I was watching it, but now that you say it,
yeah,
I'm on board.
I was watching it the whole time and I was like, who
fuck
is this? I know this.
Yeah.
And now that I've just said, now I've figured it out just now. It's taken me 2 weeks to figure it out.
Yeah, nailed it.
Yeah, but it was complex, that relationship. I think he cared about her, like even at the start.
Yeah, like not obviously not the way that she cared about him, but he cared about her.
Yeah, and I guess I don't want to like try and pussyfoot around it too much, but I think like. The major theme is like he's a junkie, and he's using her for medication. Initially, he's stealing her medication because he doesn't have whatever it is that he uses, I guess, smack. and then, you know, their relationship sort of develops over time. she does a runner on the night of the stupid party. Mm-hmm. And then after that, the dad tracks this guy down. What was his name?
Moses.
Moses. Tracks Moses down and he's like, I need you to stay with us.
I don't like you, but.
Yeah, but you make my daughter happy. It's the only thing that makes her happy right now. And if you stay with us, this is still a spoiler actually right now. If you stay with us, I can get you what you need. I'm a doctor. I can prescribe this to you.
Yeah.
You see this girl who is so sick, right? you don't really know until, again, the rest of this is spoilers. You don't really know until later in the film that it's terminal, right? Like they never actually tell you.
Yeah, there's parts along the way where, I don't know, it seems like the mum's getting like some false hope.
Right.
But I don't know, just it all seemed pretty
grim.
Pretty grim, yeah, the whole way through.
Yeah, so you got this really sick person that relies on drugs to not make her sick, to not make her physically ill from the cancer, and to relieve her pain and whatever else she's going through. She's got drugs to help her live a normal, pain-free life and be as comfortable as she can be until the end. Then you've got a guy who, by choice, is into the same style of drugs, opiates, and doing whatever it takes to get them, which sort of, not back and forth, seesaw, I guess, of like this person relies on these drugs by necessity, and this person by choice was, I liked that angle for a few.
Yeah, it was just both extremes.
Like, yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that before. I'm sure there's examples of that, but I can't think of one right now. I haven't seen Trainspotting, which seems like it may have something like that in it. But yeah, that I thought that was like a good take, and I think they did it really well as well. The relationship, the complexity of the relationship, because it was statutory rape, essentially.
Yeah, the age gap.
The age gap was one complexity to it. Then you had obviously an illness. Well, they both had their own illnesses.
Yeah. And the parents too.
Yeah. Like, yeah. The
neighbor, like everyone in that film was kind of fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah. And the, fuck. Oh yeah. Like he clearly at the start, it wasn't love at first sight, right? It was, no. I'm just trying to get some bread so I can score.
Well, I think it was for her.
For her it was. Yeah. Yeah. Which is, yeah, which is a pretty cool, another like parallel where like he kind of saw a sucker at first and she was instantly in love, and then his feelings for her developed and her eyes opened to what he truly was. That development of that relationship I thought was done really well. Yeah, I think for the most part, the music portion and just some of the creative choices of like shot choice and lighting and color and stuff like that, I thought maybe I'm wrong, but I thought it was probably a first time director really trying a bit too hard. Okay. No offense, because we'll get to the score. I do think it was a very good film. I just felt like it was a bit of a force at some parts of it. On two occasions, they had the girl break the fourth wall, which it took me out of the movie both times. I can't think of an example of like where that works.
Where did it happen in this film? I didn't notice.
There was one. She got dropped off at school and she ran around to the front of the car and she kissed him. Like he was in the car on the drop off and she kissed him and she turned to the camera, like winked.
Okay, I missed that one.
And there was another one. I can't remember the other one.
Yeah, I remember that scene, but I didn't catch the wink.
Yeah, she did it twice and I still don't understand why. She didn't narrate the film. There was no true relationship between her and the viewer directly. So I don't know why you would break the fourth wall like that on two occasions.
I was going to say, like, wasn't her first film, was it? But I'm having a look now. She's been, oh, sorry, it was. That was her first film. Do you reckon, you think it was intentional?
What?
It was like you felt like she was winking at you, like directly at the camera? Or do you think it was just like a novice actor?
No. It was a.
I didn't say it. So.
Oh no, it was blatant. Like okay. It wasn't like an accident.
Okay.
Yeah, it was for the story or something. I don't know what it was for because it doesn't. It took me out of it. It didn't need to happen. I was quite happy just being like a fly on the wall. I didn't need to be acknowledged for a reason that I still can't understand.
Okay.
Yeah. Twice. Oh, you didn't really mention this thing. You just said the movie was sad.
Mm. The scene in the girl's bathroom where the chick she went to school with like asked to put on the wig and was just making like taking selfies in it. I was just like, how fucking like tone deaf can you be?
Yeah.
Read the room. Like,
yep.
But I could picture some shit like that happening to just like someone in high school.
High school, yeah. I remember.
Heartbreaking, man. Like,
yeah. I remember thinking that and just being like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But I didn't put a note down, but I was just like, what? I was nervous. I thought she was going to run off with the wig. Like old school bullying type of shit.
Yeah.
And she wasn't bullying.
I was just ignorant. Worried about that too. That's what I said to Hannah. I was like, she better not run away with this wig.
Yeah. But it was almost worse what she did. Like, oh my God, I look so different. And then she saw like the girl's face and was like, oh, it looks better on you though.
Yeah. It's like, kind of like in school when a kid would have glasses and someone else would take them off them and wear them and just think it's funny. But this was. Like,
oh, how do you see
this? Yeah, this was like the most extreme because this poor girl had a terminal illness.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that was rough.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking, I didn't think this when I was watching it. And they were like so concerned about her missing school and stuff. What do you think about that? Like if you know that it's ending soon and you're not she wasn't like, particularly sociable or really enjoying school.
Didn't really have any close friends at school from what we were.
Does it matter?
I mean, hopefully I never have to go through this, but I feel like it mattered more to the parents.
Yeah.
I don't think it actually matters though. It obviously doesn't actually matter whether you go to school or not.
Yeah.
In that situation.
But you can't, you also can't just like be in your bed depressed all day. No, either.
So I think the parents just really wanted to see their little girl live like
a normal life.
Yeah. Have some sense of normalcy.
I think that's, now that we've said it out loud, I feel like an idiot even for asking because, like, yeah, you can't just, like, exclude yourself from society.
Yeah, everyone would just be in such a worse mindset if she was just sitting in bed all day, every day.
Yeah. So. And the other sort of parenting decision to bring the guy into the house and feed him drugs.
It was a pretty radical one, but I liked it.
I liked the love.
The
we'll do anything to keep her happy in her, dying moments or not. Well, yeah, dying, but probably better terminology. But it was a beautiful sentiment. But and there was a bit of humor in it. They acknowledged. They said that they were the worst parents in the world or something, which was funny. But were they? You know.
Feel like their neighbor was the chick that was pregnant, just like smoking darts and
drinking coffee and
yeah
adulterizing.
Yeah,
she didn't have a partner, I don't think, but
yeah, I called that straight away.
Me too.
It was just the way the dad looked at her.
I think they intentionally made it obvious.
Yeah.
And obviously the mum was having such a mental breakdown that he was sort of over his whole situation, which they didn't show at that point. So it was like, this I thought they did well too. Because when you saw him look at her like that, you're like, oh, he's got a banger or whatever. Mm. And you're like, oh, what a piece of shit. And then you kind of, you're not supposed to cheat no matter how upset you are at your partner, but you kind of see what his situation is at home and like the deterioration of not only his daughter's physical health, but his wife's mental health. And he's just like, fucking hell, like give me a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Was it the first scene where you see the parents and they're in his office and he's just like eating while they're going at it?
Yeah.
You can just see how disinterested
he
was already in it. That kind of set the table.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought there was a lot of good in this, like, especially for a first time filmmaker. It sounds mad disrespectful that I said, well, I don't know if it's disrespectful because I managed to call it that it was her first film. Like, I could just feel that in the force of some of the stuff. It, you know, it wasn't unforgivable. You know, if she came to me and said, I want you to star in a movie I'm directing, I would, like, I think she's, is it a she, by the way?
Shannon Murphy.
That could be a he.
No, it's a she.
For some reason, I could tell it was a she as well. I don't know. But, I don't know. I could tell that it was her first film, but that's not a slight because it's enjoyable. Oh, before I go to the score, I do want to talk the last scene or two scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Just a heads up, this is still a spoiler. The last night, I'll leave the part out, the request she made of him.
Yeah.
And they enjoy each other's company that night. And the next morning, the mum, by the way, the mum's like got insomnia and she's up every night walking around the house. And she's like, oh, she didn't get up at this time. She didn't get up for a medication or this or that. And the Moses comes out and he has a cigarette and he's just like, oh yeah, no, she said she didn't need it. She said she was fine. And the mum's still sort of ignorant to the whole situation. Mm. Still asking questions, chatterboxing. You see the look on Tex's face. And he knows, right? He goes into the room and he comes back out and can't remember if he said it or if she just looked at him and knew. But then she breaks down and starts blaming Moses and hitting him. And we've seen this a million times where someone's hitting someone and they just hug them. And then, and that is devastating, especially being a dad now. I can only imagine that level of pain, but that was so devastating. But then the follow-up scene, which was a flashback to them at the beach.
Yeah.
There was a reason that the dad like knew straight away because of the conversation that they had had at the beach, which it seemed like maybe was just the day before. Do you think?
Yeah. Well, it was everyone that was at the Christmas lunch, wasn't it? Like the little brother was there. Pretty sure the neighbor was at the beach with them too.
Was that Christmas or was that a birthday?
Oh, whose birthday was it? No, I think you're right. I think it was a birthday.
Was it the little brother's birthday maybe?
That part threw me off. Like, I don't get why the little brother was there because it did not seem like Moses' mum fucked with him at all. So why would she let him take the little brother?
Well, the girl got him clean, remember? So I just figured that the relationship had like somewhat like resolved.
Okay.
Because
I thought it was beyond repair because she wouldn't even let him set foot in the door without calling the cops. Like, that looked way beyond repair.
It looked bad, but like she had a young boy to protect as well.
Yeah.
So I think maybe because, and that was another part that like really hit my heart, man, is like one of the last things she did was fucking get this guy clean and like sort his family situation out. And then one of the, you know, in that conversation with her dad, I hesitate to go too much into it, but that fucking beach scene, bro, that conversation had me weak, dude. Took me out. As much as I've called out a few things, you know, breaking the fourth wall, some of the, you know, shot choices, the music, unreal film. I recommend it. 7.5.
Took my number.
You
went, I really enjoyed it too. I didn't know what to expect going into it.
Yeah.
I don't think you really told me much about it. You just gave me the movie name.
Yeah. I don't think I knew anything when we chose. I just had the recommendation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, knew absolutely nothing about it. Didn't know it was going to be Australian. So,
yeah, I didn't know either. Oh, well, no, because you had seen the, I think you said you'd seen the tile for it and you saw a guy with a mullet or something and you were like,
oh, that's right.
He's hell Australian
has
looking
to be.
Up. Yeah.
Has to be. Yeah. No, okay.
Yeah. But
had a hunch, but
I hadn't even seen that. So I was, because you said that, I was expecting Australian.
Okay. But yeah, didn't know where it was going to go.
Yeah.
No, it was really good. It was really enjoyable.
Yeah.
Sad, but glad I watched it.
Yeah, a couple of saddies in a row because the last one was The Whale.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've got the next one locked in, Oppenheimer.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
So we will have actually seen that before this episode is dropped. But that's what you'll be listening to next week, folks, is Oppenheimer.
Oh my God, it's so big and strong.
Bung Bung Coffee, big, strong flavor. Competition? I don't think so. Bungbungcoffee.com. Get yours.
Before we jump off, we did get some emails this week, and I got some more feedback this week from a few listeners saying they want more shit talk at the top of the episode. And I mean, if Lizzo is going to be making people do shit like that, it's going to be easy every week. And they want more advice, but I can't do advice if people aren't writing emails. You understand?
Yeah, you gotta ask for it.
Yeah. So I think I got two. I got three here. This first one is a short one. It's from a person named Henry, and it's a comedy question. And I know a Henry in the Adelaide comedy scene, so it could be him. It says, "What do you do after bombing?" Fucking look at my shoes for the next fucking 3 days. I don't know. I fucking hate it. I can't get used to it. I can't get used to it. I just, I know some comics that thrive on it, or at least pretend to enjoy those shitty gigs. And, you know, I don't enjoy it. I enjoy working for a laugh. I enjoy, you know, a couple of jokes not quite hitting and being like, okay, I've got to lift it, and then getting them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't enjoy just eating dicks for 10 minutes. Like a proper bomb, I don't. It takes me until my next gig to get over, which is funny because if I have a good gig, takes me 24 hours until I already think I'm a piece of shit comedian again. So that's pretty annoying. But I put my head down. I leave. Maybe, you know, maybe I'll get a cheeseburger on the way home. Maybe Biscoff Storm. Maybe I'll not sleep that night because I think I'm a piece of shit. Maybe I'll write new material at the club. Maybe I'll open my notebook at the club and just start writing and changing shit. Maybe I'll wait till I get home. Maybe I'll listen to a real comedian that can tell real jokes and try and get inspired. Maybe I won't listen to comedy until I've got my mojo back because I don't want to feel that I'll never be as good as whoever I'm listening to. I don't know. Bombing sucks. Bombing sucks. I hate it. What you're supposed to do, if that's the question, like what should you do, is just laugh it off and move on. I'd be like, oh, well, next gig.
Yeah, that sounds like it's easier said than done.
Yeah.
But
it depends on the bomb too. Sometimes if everyone bombs, if it's just like it's one of those nights, you can't win them over. Maybe you got a shit MC that's just like taking the air out of the room in between acts. And maybe you've only got 5 minutes and you're trying to earn the crowd back for 5 minutes, and maybe you get a little laugh at the end and then the MC goes and fucking takes a dump on stage again. It could be that. It could be that, which is like it's easier to get over, and you laugh with the other comics after the show and just be like, Jesus Christ, Jeff was eating it tonight, you know? Or sometimes with like the comedy road show that I'm doing with those boys, if one person bombs, we usually just roast them on the drive home the whole time. Just like at our very first comedy road show at Swan Reach, we were driving out there. Well, I was driving and I ran over a cat. And that night, Justin ate a fucking plate of dicks, maybe two plates. And on the drive home, we're all talking about like, fuck, I thought the cat was going to be the only thing to die tonight, eh, Justin? Like shit like that. Just like, just roasting the cunt for eating it. So that's fun. But after my own bombs, yeah, I usually wallow in self-pity and I try to get creative, try to find new jokes because I'll end up hating my jokes after a bomb, so I'll try and find some new ones. But a bomb doesn't mean that your material sucks. Maybe your energy wasn't right that night. Maybe, yeah. You can't blame the crowd, that's for sure, because you have to think like whoever your favorite comedian is, Bill Burr was in that room that night, he would have torn it apart, you know? It's not the crowd. You just got to be better. But yeah, I don't know. I was just joking. I don't fucking like want to kill myself after a bad set. I just try to forget about it. I drive home usually listening to a podcast and, you know, focus on the next one. Try and tighten up. This one's coming in from Lindsay. Boyfriend claims he found countless adult videos of me online, but I've seen the videos and it isn't me. My boyfriend of 3 years is convinced he found adult videos of me online. He sent them to me and the woman in the videos does oddly look a lot like me. Even has the same name with different spelling. But it is not me in the videos. The woman in the videos wears earrings and jewelry in almost every clip. I, however, do not wear jewelry. You can't take jewelry off, put a bang on. I think you're a porn actress, Lindsay. The biggest giveaway is that it's not me is the missing tattoos. I have several tattoos and a large one on my right arm. Woman in the videos does not. She's also heavier set than me, Lizzo. We do honestly have very similar facial features though. My boyfriend is so convinced he won't listen to me or believe me. Help. What do I do? Is he just trying to find an excuse to break up? He's been really mean, hateful, and emotionally abusive about all of this. I blocked his number last night because he kept sending me videos of this woman over and over at 2 a.m. This guy's got a beat-off problem, I think. I'm not okay anymore. After all of his accusations, I struggle with my mental health. I struggle with my mental health as it is, and he's sending me over the edge. I don't know what to do. Any advice would be appreciated. Bung, bung. Oh, well, don't be with him. First, you got to quit porn, I'd say. You got to quit doing porn and your boyfriend's got to quit watching it because he's just beating off to this chick that looks exactly like you, which is, I don't know, kind of nice. I think it's kind of gay. If I'm going to beat off to porno, it's going to be someone that does not look like my girlfriend. That's nuts. Get creative, guy. But to emotionally abuse you, like you're not really giving me specifics, you're just saying he's being emotionally abusive. I'll believe you in this instance. Believe all women.
Like it'd be funny if it was just like a one-off, but
yeah,
to be repeatedly sending these videos and accusing your girlfriend of being an undercover porn actress is wild.
Yeah, and if he truly believes it, that's kind of like insane, especially if she's like got a different build, tattoos.
Yeah.
Jewelry, I don't know, is a huge sell, Lindsay. Like, you can take jewelry off.
She said she has tattoos now, but
got tattoos. The actress doesn't.
I mean, it could have been her in the past.
Yeah.
Could be old videos.
Yeah, it could be. Lindsay.
She could have lost weight.
Yeah. I think it's you, Lindsay. Yeah, and I think your boyfriend's right. And I think he's right to bully. No. you're not allowed to be emotionally abusive ever. So dump him. And maybe he does want to dump you. Maybe it is an excuse, like you said, because guys aren't like in touch enough with their emotions or communication skills to break up with people. I've always said they should teach how to break up with people in schools, because the amount of, I'm usually the one that gets broken up with, but the times I have done the breaking up, I've been very bad, very bad, very mean, standoffish. Oh, I've done the ones where I've just tried to be a cunt to make them break up with me. I've done that. I've told the truth. I do not recommend that. In terms of like, this annoys me about you. This is gross about you. I hate it when you do this. You walk funny. Your breath stinks. You sound, your voice is annoying. You know, like you can't just do that's mean. Maybe he's trying to break up with you. I think he sounds like he's just immature. You know, he's got a porn addiction anyway. Get rid of him. Get rid of him. And, you know, I mean, while you're a porn actress, I don't think you should be in a serious relationship. Last one here coming in from Matt. I used to go to school with a guy named Matt. Fast runner. And he liked playing baseball, and he had a Kermit the Frog voice.
Sound like this.
You gotta tell me who it is off air.
All right. Bleep this.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I thought you were talking about, I know his name's not Matt, but who's that other real fast guy? Troy?
Troy.
Yeah.
Bleep that. This one's coming in from Matt. Caught shoplifting, do I tell my parents? So this guy must live at home. Oh, yeah, he says he's 15 here. So basically, I was caught shoplifting a $3.50 drink. The owners called me out, and I immediately confessed, gave them a 50, and left without the drinks and change. I don't believe you, Matt. I don't believe that at all. I just buy the drink. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, just buy like 15 of them, dude.
And why are you shoplifting when you got 50 bucks?
Yeah.
15-year-olds don't shoplift for the thrill of it. What? 15-year-olds don't have a 50.
This just sounds like a 15-year-old flex.
Yeah, this is not enough. I apologize, left the store promising to be better. This doesn't seem real.
I want to know where this goes now. What else you got to say?
They didn't take any ID, phone numbers, or any of the sort and gave me a second chance, mainly due to how remorseful and shameful I was. I'm flooded with guilt and working towards getting over it and working on myself to be a better person. I'm so glad I was caught. Oh, get out of here, dude. This is so gay, bro. It was my first time and I wouldn't want my confidence to build in that area. Anyways, my parents would most likely never find out, but I know if I were to tell them how upset they would be, which puts me into shame even more. Should I tell them? Would it do me or them any good? Or would keeping this to myself and working on myself as well as never doing anything of the sort again be better? Being really down and not sure if telling would help. Bingo, bango, bongo.
Sorry, is that what actually, is that how the email gets signed off?
Yeah.
This dude is taking the piss, man.
Yeah. Yeah. First off, you're an absolute pussy for only stealing like a can of Coke or whatever. Is that how much can of Coke's going through it for these days? $3.50?
Sounds like a bargain these days, but yeah. Yeah, probably.
If you want to steal something, bro, you gotta get some bang for your buck. I think you gotta steal like a leg of lamb or something. Stick a leg of lamb in your pants. Maybe you wanna go get something like taco mix. Something that's nice to have in the pantry, but like you've never got it.
Jar of Biscoff.
Biscoff, you need a jar of that. That's easily in the sleeve of a hoodie, a jar of Biscoff. So I might go steal some this weekend. That might be my snack for Oppenheimer. I'm gonna
take a jar into the cinema.
Yeah, we'll go steal some jars of Biscoff and then go see Oppenheimer, man.
All right, I'll get the biscuits.
So yeah, I don't know. Steal better stuff first off, and don't, if you're gonna be a criminal, bro, don't be a pussy about it. That's like,
I can't believe you hand over a 50.
That's
the craziest part.
That's the biggest crime in this whole thing. Is you got robbed. You went in and tried to rob someone, and you got robbed, dude. That is nuts. That's like Craig getting fired on his day off.
What's that from?
Friday.
Oh, Craig. Yeah, okay. They said Craig for a second.
Sorry. I meant Craig. Yeah, that's wild. I can't believe that guy just made like a $46.50 profit off you trying to rob him.
Dude, he made a $50
profit. Oh, yeah. You didn't even take the drink.
Take it.
Matt, tell your parents and kill yourself.
You can't be making donations at the supermarket.
Yeah, that's hectic, bro. But nah, don't tell your parents. Dude, you snitch on yourself and it's over. You think you already said your parents are going to be disappointed in you, but you won't even be able to forgive yourself for that shit, man. That is you'll be looking back on this in years to come and being like, I'm such a sucker. And you'll be sitting with like your girlfriend who emotionally abuses you because you used to be a porn star or whatever. And you'll be like, I can't believe I gave that motherfucker 50.
Man, you corny.
Dude, corn, that's another easy steal. Just shove that right up your sleeve. Dude, wear sleeves. How'd you get caught as well, by the way? Dude, shoplifting is mad easy. If any young kids are listening, shoplifting is mad easy. I shoplifted so... You got caught, actually.
Yeah, did we? I think we talked about it.
Yeah, recently.
Lot. Yeah.
Yeah. They saw you do it?
Yeah, I got caught. They saw me do it.
And you... How much did you pay them? Imagine if that was the standard. In some countries, they cut your hand off. And in some countries, you can pay the fine on the spot if you're a big enough pussy. I think I've lost Matt as a listener.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want fucking absolute bitches listening to this show, dude. That's nuts, bro. I can't even fucking believe this guy. And, like, can we revisit some of the statements made here? Because this is all lies.
Yeah, it's all lies. Bingo, bango, bongo, dude.
Gave them a 50 and left without the drinks and change. I apologized and left the store promising to be better. Dude, that's so Asian, bro. Like, he's walking out backwards and, like, bowing on his way out. I'd be a better.
Oh, shit.
Dude, he's like he's let down his ancestors or some shit. Like, what are you talking about, bro? What movie did you watch before writing this email? What else did he say? He gave me a second chance mainly due to how remorseful and shameful I was.
Just sounds like this guy's practicing his English writing or some shit.
Yeah, this is ESL shit. Yeah. So maybe I was right about him bowing out of the store backwards. It's nuts, man. Anyway, thanks for writing in. You're a good storyteller. We don't buy it. Just like you don't buy your soft drinks. Welcome to the party on everything. We love you guys. Don't forget to love yourselves. And as always, a bung bung.